Let's go, girls.
Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson and Molly Vogt. Molly is a former mutual fund consultant and retirement plan specialist who is currently the director and founder of My Purse Politics. Kim served as a city councilwoman, is a former investment broker, and now a successful entrepreneur. Now, let's hear what's hatching in local and national politics with the AmeriChicks. Molly and Kim.
Hey, welcome. We are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Monson. I'm Kim.
I'm Molly.
And we hope you had a great weekend and are having a marvelous Monday.
For sure.
Yeah. Check us out. We are actually doing a Facebook Live show today. We have John Andrews in studio with us, the Honorable John Andrews.
Sometimes.
And it's going to be a really great show. There's a lot going on in the world out there. And so go to our website, AmeriChicks.com. All of our shows, our past broadcasts are on there, as well as there's a lot of great information. Tonight, we're going to race over to Water's Edge Winery after the show because we're playing a little game of Are You Smarter Than Big Government? And so if you think you are, and we think you are, come on over. It's going to be a fun evening, and you can share an issue that's on your heart and what your solution would be.
Yep, we're looking for 3 minutes or less. The number one issue on your heart, your solution. And really why it matters to you, because we think that we are smarter than big government and we can do this ourselves. And if self-government really is the goal of the people, then let's prove that we are smart enough and we can do it.
Right. So definitely. Hey, great weekend at the Western Conservative Summit. We met a lot of great people and thank you for coming by. It was a fun live broadcast there and we did some Facebook Live interviews. One of my favorites was little Christian Coleman. You know, Pastor Christine's little son. It was pretty priceless.
Yeah.
But we had a lot of good ones.
We did. Pastor Christine Coleman, if you don't remember, she was one of the survivors of the Rwanda Holocaust. And so now she is here in America and she is all for freedom because she knows what it's like to live without freedom. And so her little boy was absolutely pro-Trump, pro-freedom, and all that. So go check out his live
cute.
Facebook interview.
It was just really, really cute. So what's on your heart? What's the issue that's on your mind right now, Molly?
Well, one big thing I'm kind of concerned about is chips. I mean, I love to eat chips. You love
Me
to
too.
Eat chips, right?
Especially with French onion dip.
Yes, mm-hmm. But I don't really want a chip to go underneath my skin so that my employer or anybody else can follow me. It's kind of scary.
It's very scary.
I don't know if you've heard or not, but I read this in this article today. Wisconsin, the first company, Three Square Market, is going to offer technology to its employees. They're going to put a chip party August 1st, put it underneath their skin. Now they can make purchases in their break room. They can open doors, log into computers. They can use the copy machine, et cetera, et cetera. And they're thinking more than 50 staff members are actually going to sign up for this.
Whoa. John Andrews, do you have any thoughts about that?
I'm having bad flashbacks to 24, the counterterrorism thriller, Molly, where when they wanted to trace somebody, they put a chip under their skin, but it was not voluntary. It was definitely sinister, and I agree with you. That's not the brave new world I want to live in.
No, no. And think of all the hackers. You know, how many times my credit card, at least every quarter, I have to get a new credit card because somebody's hacked into the system. They've got my credit card number and they're spinning things. What if somebody hacks into the chip on my hand?
So you'd have a lot of scars because they'd have to take it out and put a new one in?
I don't know that they'd have. Well, yeah, true. That would be the solution. But what else could they make me do or buy, you know, if I start walking past things and it's attached to my credit card? Because if you're going to be buying purchases in the break room, wouldn't that be attached to a credit card?
That reminds me of the old Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. This is the chip made me do it. Is that it? Is that what it's
scary.
Queso dip, salsa, yes. Implanted electronic chips.
No,
no thank
no.
you.
All right.
No, definitely.
How about you? I heard you had an expensive weekend.
I did, although actually I did call the parking company and I think that we'll get to some resolution. But John, at the Western Conservative Summit, I drove my car because I felt much safer going home late at night. In my car instead of on light rail, and had parked. I paid the parking company and came out on Saturday night and had a $54 ticket. And one of my friends had a $119 ticket. Now she did just text me and said that she talked to the company and that they were going to waive that. But I was pretty hot about it because as Molly and I were trying to find a parking spot as we were going over on Friday, the streets were very, very congested. But there had been a whole lane that had been taken out for bike paths, another whole lane for parking, although they were not allowing anybody to park there. And as you guys know, I think the mobility, the ability for people to move freely is so important for a free people. And I just see all of this kind of subtle engineering, and it was really frustrating. So I was frustrated about it, but I think that they're going to be pretty nice about it, and hopefully I can get that down to the extra $4 that I was supposed to pay.
Yeah. Well, I've agreed that one of the things that we actually allow our government to do is to help us with roads. But unfortunately, they're proving that they're not very good at it, and they're wasting our time, and they're wasting our money, and they're taking away our spaces. And I really don't want them to take away my right to drive a car or my convenience of driving a car. Why don't they just fix the roads?
I agree.
I mean, bikers, they were fine.
Get your damages down from $54 to $4 and use the other $50. Take the rest of us over to Water's Edge Winery sometime.
What a great, how about tonight? Great idea. So, you know, the other thing that really breaks my heart, and it's the big issue, is this whole thing with Charlie Gard, is the fact that the British medical system would not allow the parents to have a free choice to bring the child to America for some medical treatment. It may not have worked, and it might have, but the idea that government or a hospital system is going to make that choice for a family. John, what do you think?
I can only think death panel. And when that term was used in the early battles over Obamacare around 2010, Sarah Palin, who made it famous, was viciously criticized as if she'd exaggerated and sensationalized the issue beyond all reality. Well, here it is, reality slamming us in the face, the tragedy of government saying, no, this little boy and his parents may not accept the offers from literally around the world to try to save his life. Because why? Because some group of bureaucrats vetoed it. They don't like the precedent it would set. They don't like the door it would open. A death panel. Let it never, ever, ever, ever come to these United States of America.
Well, we're talking about big issues, and that's one of the reasons that we have you here, John. So we're excited to hear about your new endeavor. So we are the Americhicks, Molly and Kim. We're going to go to break. And also remember to come over to Water's Edge Winery tonight at about 6 or 6:30. It's going to be a fun evening.
It sure will. We'll see you there. Hang on. We'll be right back. If you're a veteran looking to purchase a home, choose the local experts at Home Mortgage Alliance. VA loans offer qualifying veterans the option to buy without a down payment, and closing fees are limited. Active duty or retired military, reserves, and surviving spouses may qualify. Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook have spent decades finding the correct loan to suit your unique financial situation. Give Home Mortgage Alliance a call at 303-888-2732. That's 303-888-2732. Or check them out on our Americhicks referral list at Americhicks.com.
Home Mortgage Alliance LLC is an approved FHA lender. Sponsored agent of VA loans. NMLS number 1137507.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516. Or visit her online at Karen-Levine.com and tell her the Americhicks sent you.
Today you need to have a great online and social media presence, and the best in the biz is Desi On Demand. The Americhicks, Molly and Kim, personally work with Brandon, the founder of Desi On Demand. Desi On Demand is instrumental with our video projects, Chick Chat, Eggs, Exceptional Endeavors, and our World War II project. We most heartily endorse his creativity, innovation, dedication, and integrity. Brandon and his team bring all that to the table. Check out Desi On Demand's website at mydesi.com or call 303-359-1522 for more info, and be sure to tell them the Americhicks sent you.
Bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes, oh my! No need to worry about your company or personal finances with the proven professionals at Predovich & Company. Predovich & Company are certified public accountants who offer exceptional services to individuals, businesses, and nonprofits. Serving the South Metro area, the team at Predovich & Company strives to take a proactive approach in understanding your tax, accounting, and bookkeeping needs and situation. Give Predovich & Company a call at 303-791-3000 or check out their website at dpredovich.com and be sure to tell them the Americhicks sent you.
Hey, welcome back. We are the Americhicks, Molly and Kim. And if you had come by our booth at the Western Conservative Summit, some of you got one of these really neat little handy-dandy camera covers for your computer. And I tell you, with what's going on with the chip, and we're talking about Evan Gard and Charlie Gard. You know, I think that it was, we kind of have to be careful about what's going on. But anyway, we got this from our one of our new sponsors or partners, and that is EvanYourITGuy.com.
Yep, it is. Check them out. They're going live next month. But it's 24/7. Anytime you have a problem with your computer, you don't have to call your neighbor and bug them or call your friends late at night. You can just make a phone call and they can hook you up with somebody, whether it's software, hardware, external issue, no matter what it is, they've got your IT problem solved. And if you are a veteran looking for a job in IT, look them up. So EvanYourITGuy.com. And if you go on and log in right now, they'll send you a cover for your computer for free.
Yeah, go down and put your information in and sign up. And they're really cool. I really like this. It's a lot better. I can't see your
sticky tape.
Yeah, do you still have your sticky tape?
I just took it off.
Okay, good. Okay,
so
good.
This prevents the camera from being used to spy on you.
Yeah, yep. Look at this, John. Isn't that neat?
Yeah, I got it. Okay.
Back and forth.
I did
really
an event
cool.
one time. I brought a cybersecurity guy in, and I'm like, well, really? Are they really using our stuff? He says, listen, don't sleep with your phone by your bed turned on, and don't use it in any compromising places or times, because people can drive right past your house, hack into your phone, turn your phone or your computer camera on, and watch you anytime.
Ugh, scary.
So...
Evan, the IT guy.
Evan, yeah. Your IT guy. Check him out.
I need to check him out.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. So, hey, John, you are, we're talking about some really big issues regarding freedom and humanity. And this is something that's been on your heart. My first question, though, is how did this happen? How did you get to where you are right now?
Wow. We've got an 8-hour show.
I know. You'll have to come back, but.
You know, Kim, as a grade school kid and then high school student in St. Louis, Missouri, and spending summers in the gorgeous Upper Arkansas Valley in the shadow of the Collegiate Peaks at Buena Vista, Colorado, somewhere along the line, through good teachers, the interest that my parents and family took in my development as a questing young mind and a budding young citizen, I just fell in love with the American story. It started through biography and history. I love to read and always have. My uncle happened to be a state senator in Michigan and later a congressman from Michigan. So I had that role model nearby in the family. But as I come into college and through the Navy and into my young adulthood, I just became very passionate about helping the American miracle be sustained and where the fullness of the realization of the promise of America, of liberty and justice for all and all created equal, hadn't been fully realized, wanted to do my part in that. But it was grounded in a conservative Christian conviction that America is something very special. It's only occurred once in all known history in all the corners of the earth. If we lose it, we probably would never be able to recover it. And it's been an exciting, rewarding, challenging, but very, very blessed life for me to be in the public arena, trying to encourage my fellow Americans to think clearer about what liberty and limited government and personal responsibility mean. And as my active years serving in the Colorado Senate, then being a radio host locally here in Denver and a Denver Post columnist and a TV commentator, later founder of the Centennial Institute and Western Conservative Summit at Colorado Christian University, as all that kind of ran its course, some alleged Andrews was retiring. No, what I've done is I've dived into the challenge of taking these ideas that I've loved all my life and putting them in longer or shorter written form where people can consider them at length. There's a lot to be said for electronic communication, whether through radio or TV or now through everything that we can do online and with the web and the internet. On the other hand, the book and the opportunity for individuals to be alone and ponder and read something 5 times if they have to and mark it up in the margin and cross-reference it to what they read yesterday or 20 years ago, that'll never, ever be replaced. And so I've got a couple of books that I produced in the last several years, and now I'm on to a new adventure, which is short stories about how the legislative and political process works at the grassroots of American government. We pay so much attention to Washington, D.C., but I've invented an imaginary state senator and put him in situations where his conservative beliefs and his biblical ethics are tested to the max. I'm having a lot of fun with Senator George Leland, my new creation.
Well, I was reading one of them today, and this was regarding Senator Leland had hired a staffer. I can't remember his name exactly. I want to say Clay.
Clay Rice.
Yes. And Clay had been in prison, had been rehabilitated, and Senator Leland kind of went out on a limb to hire him. And I didn't get it all finished. However,
that's good. There'll be no spoilers in the show.
Darn. I was hoping you'd tell me. But I found it really interesting in the words that you use. You know, as I read some of the writings of the founders, the words that they used, we don't hear them that much anymore. I think the one that struck me today was perfunctory. Was that it?
Perfunctory.
Yeah,
you can
that
put
one.
Three more syllables in if you want.
Well, you know, I tell you, I read all the simple words, but I'm like, ah. And lots of times I will sit and read things and have my dictionary. I think everybody should have a written dictionary from like any time before at least 1980 so they can really know what the words are. And I do. I have to go back and learn how to pronounce some of these fabulous words.
Kim, I have been told for years and years and years that I need to dial it down and write at a fifth or sixth grade level.
No.
I've been working on it.
Wait a minute. Does that say something about me, you guys?
and through Twitter, you're forced to make it all shorter and simpler. But as I try to get these ideas across with nonfiction or now with short fiction, if I'm writing it at a ninth or tenth grade level, I'm not going to feel too bad about it.
Okay. Well, you know,
Miss Kessler, my ninth grade English teacher, gave us three unusual vocab words to get our heads around every Monday, and the three vocab words of the week. And all that got me going to where I began reading Bill Buckley's National Review magazine later on in high school. And Buckley was famous for making fullest use of that fat Webster's dictionary that you just referenced, where most people have only accessed maybe 5% of the dictionary. Buckley was going to make use of 95% of it, and I guess that's grown on me a little bit. My man, Senator Leland, I think he's a pretty plain-spoken guy. I don't think he's the one who said perfunctory. I think it was his creator, Senator Andrews, who said perfunctory.
As we talk about reading, though, you know, it's been an education that we want to teach kids to read, and that is important. However, I think that we need to be more selective in what we read. So as we mention your book, your books here, these are books that are written to provoke thought, to provoke conversation. And certainly we enjoy spy novels and all, but there's a lot of junk out there right now. And I think that we need to encourage ourselves and our kids to talk about big ideas, to read about big things. I think art should celebrate the human spirit.
My book, Responsibility Reborn, A Citizen's Guide to the Next American Century, that I published in 2011, the seed of it was lessons learned in the crucible of scandal in Washington, D.C. as a young staffer for Richard Nixon during Watergate, which ultimately terminated his presidency in 1974. I had left almost a year ahead of that, making the only public protest resignation off of Nixon's staff because my job in the speechwriting staff, as glamorous as it was, required me to personally believe in the man that I was trying to assist in communicating to the American people. And I had honestly lost faith in President Nixon. And I had to ultimately go public with those convictions.
And you were just a young kid, probably.
I was in my late 20s. I quit the White House at age 29 and made a new life here in Colorado before I turned 30. But that's Responsibility Reborn. A couple years later, I collected 100 essays that I'd written about issues in Colorado, not what conservatives should think about issues, but more how a conservative, this particular one, John Andrews, has tried to take America's founding principles and biblical Judeo-Christian truth and ethics and apply them to tough situations with no easy answers. In the latest project that you're kind enough to invite me to talk about today, these stories about my imaginary alter ego, Senator George Leland, conservative, although his party is called the Covenant Party, because in his state, the name of which we never learn, the Liberal Party is called the Service Party, a lofty concept, right? The conservatives are called the Covenant Party. Are either of them all right all the time or all wrong all the time? No, there's a mix. That's something we've got to think about. What I've done with the George Leland stories, three of them published now, people can find them on my website, backboneamerica.net, is try to think with the reader about whether politics can in fact be noble. That's kind of a laugh line to a lot of people in America today.
It is.
Because we've got a swamp that needs draining, and we've got a president fighting to drain it, and we've got the swamp dwellers fighting back against him right now. Donald Trump against the establishment. The fact remains, whether you go to ancient Rome or ancient Athens or the London of Samuel Johnson and Edmund Burke of the 1770s, you had a swamp wherever you have human power and pride and ambition contending for the mastery. There's that temptation to forget that you really work for the people. And if we can see the potential for nobility in politics, my senator is forced to almost saw his arm off a couple of times to do the right thing against his better self-interest. And I want people to think about that's possible, not just because he's a conservative, because he used to be a pastor. I identify with those things personally. But there, one of the stories, in fact, the Clay Rice story that you mentioned, having read part of today, Kim, ends with his opposite number, the president of the Senate from the other party, the liberals, the service party, ends up playing a role that nobody would have expected and where you can only admire it. Some people have told me this brought tears to their eyes and a lump to in their throat. And I guess as a newcomer trying to learn my way writing fiction, if I can have that effect on somebody and do it with a liberal, maybe we're getting somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, and John Anders, I love the fact that you're doing this as a fiction because there are people like us that are reading as much as we can to learn about the founding fathers and their principles and where they were coming from, their values, what made America great, so we know what we have to work towards to make sure that we continue to be a free people. But a lot of people get their information from the media, from Hollywood, from movies, and from fiction books. And so they're learning, you know, they think it's creative and it's fun, but they're kind of learning, unfortunately, some of their principles that way. So I'm glad that you have some new fictional, you know, pieces that you're pushing forward and that you're bringing this guy forward, Senator Leland. And you said that he has a special mission, kind of a special mission from God. So he was a pastor and he knows that what he has to do is work hard, bring his values forward to protect America.
And as I have sketched the beginning of his political career, when he told his congregation he was going to run for an open state Senate seat, he pledged to them that his goal was to conduct himself in such a way that no one would ever suspect that he started as a pastor. That is, he doesn't wear his faith on his sleeve. He says, I had to promise my wife no Bible quotes or she was not going to let me run at all. What am I doing there? There is I hope not disrespectful, but a clear challenge to those who do wear their faith on their sleeve, and I know why they do. I love their motive, but I want them to stop and ask themselves, is this the best way to do it?
Is this effective?
That's right.
Right. So, hey, we are with John Andrews in studio. It's the Americhicks, Molly and Kim, and we're talking about his two books, the latest, Backbone Colorado USA, and also his short essays. We'll be right back with John Andrews.
Have a great night out and watch the best movies under the stars at the historic 88 Drive-In Theater. Beginning Friday, July 21st, the triple feature at 88 Drive-In will include Spider-Man Homecoming, Valerian, and Baby Driver. Admission is $8 per person and children under 12 are free. Stay for one or all three. Please be sure to visit the delicious snack bar to help 88 Drive-In Theater continue to bring you the best in movie entertainment. Get their special pizza deal Monday through Thursday. Receive one 12-inch pizza and two 16-ounce sodas, all for only $11. Stay up to date on movie showings and times at 88drivein.net. And be sure to tell them the Americhicks sent you.
Hey, welcome back to the Americhicks, Molly and Kim on KDMT 1690 AM every Monday to Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. We're in studio right now with John Andrews, and he's a former president of the Colorado Senate and also an author, Responsibility Reborn, and he also has a new political fiction lineup that he's doing on backboneamerica.net. Check him out. I think it's very interesting, John Andrews, the fact that you did serve in the legislature, like Kim, served as city council. You saw how the sausage was made.
Indeed, and it's not a pretty sight on the inside. It gives me sympathy, as we were talking during the break, for Mitch McConnell and Senate leadership trying to corral the 50 votes that they need to begin improving American health care.
Yeah. Well, and I'm glad that you're coming out and you're telling people how the sausage was made, like Kim has been doing. We've been doing Eyes on the Process. We've been talking city council, county commission, RTD, and really just explaining to people what happens behind those closed doors. But can you just talk a little bit about, you know, what does happen behind those closed doors? Say everybody has an R behind their name or everybody has a D behind their name, and they're all supposedly for changing something in healthcare or taxes. What happens behind closed doors from the leadership that makes some people not vote the way they promise when they run?
First of all, the part of the glass that's half, much more than half full, whether you look at the legislature of the state of Colorado or the imaginary state senate where my fictional creation, George Leland, serves in the minority party, or whether you look at the U.S. Congress in Washington, D.C., the part of the glass that's much more than half full, Molly and Kim, is that we have been able to take the conflicts of a nation, a diverse nation, of 330 million people, an often disunited and divided nation, conflicts that too easily could explode into violence in the streets, which at one time in our history exploded into armies clashing as the Union itself almost broke apart during the Civil War. All those conflicts brought indoors. As Lincoln said, will we solve it with ballots? Because if we don't, we're going to have to solve it with bullets. And under Lincoln, it actually came to the bullets having to fly in order to vindicate the promise of the American founding and to begin erasing the stain of slavery and racism. But I want to emphasize that the glass is much more than half full in America and other representative limited constitutional government democracies in this world where we brought the conflicts out of the streets into the legislative halls. If there is shouting, if there is cheating, if there's cowardice, if there is corrupt dealing, all of that is regrettable but not surprising. And yet, all the while, there is a free people having chosen their representatives honestly and freely. And in the case of the state of Colorado, 35 state senators, 65 state representatives, 100 Coloradans elected to make the laws for the other 5+ million Coloradans. What a responsibility you feel on your shoulders. But you're not the only players under that Capitol dome, because the lobby and the media, and especially let's talk about the lobby, the organized interest groups. Kim has had to fend them off as a city councilwoman in a suburban municipality. I certainly had to. Sometimes you have to literally elbow your way through them like a crowd waiting to get into the doorbusters sale on Black Friday. You have got to elbow your way through the crowds of lobbyists who are there. And again, it has a sleazy connotation. But what is a lobbyist? A lobbyist is exercising the guaranteed First Amendment right of the people to petition their government to get their grievances addressed. And so the lobbies, organized interest groups, and their paid representatives that interact with state legislators or city council members or county commissioners, U.S. senators and congressmen, they simply reflect the fact that government, as it's gotten more and more powerful, and thank goodness there are voices like yours decrying the ever-increasing power of government, as government gets more and more powerful, it has so many goodies to dispense. It can do so many things for me, but it can also do so many things to me. And naturally, you have a swarm of lobbyists who often, without any sinister motive at all, are simply there to say, before you 100 Colorado state legislators exercise this awesome power entrusted to you by the voters, by the Constitution, think twice. Please think 10 times. As a senator, one of the first things I learned, and it's, sometimes you forget it, the safest vote is always a no vote. There's always tomorrow. You can always revisit the issue and do it more thoughtfully tomorrow or a month from now, a year from now, or maybe do it never. But the compulsion, a colleague of mine, Dorothy Gottlieb, Republican from Denver, they don't elect Republicans out of Denver anymore, but I still see Dorothy around at the Lincoln Club and other conservative Republican gatherings. She used to say the danger of being a legislator is that you feel you're supposed to legislate. That means, oops, I came down here, I got to do something. I got to be able to tell people what did we do for them. Right. The reason the three of us are conservatives, and a lot of your listeners I think would agree, is that while we acknowledge government can do some things for us and some things to us, the greater danger, which our founders foresaw when Washington said government's like fire, be careful of it. The greater danger is what government can do to me. That's why we need to make sure that the brakes, to change the figure of speech, the brakes are in good working order on the machinery of government before you worry too much about the accelerator or the steering wheel.
Yeah.
You know, John, speaking of that, we talk about messaging, and I, when I was on city council, a reporter came up to me. I was at an event down at the Arts Center, and she said, "We're going to be doing a story about you, why you always vote no." And I'm kind of like, whoa, that's interesting, because I don't always vote no. And then she said, we have some of your other city council colleagues that are quoted in that. And at that moment, it kind of caught me off guard. And I went home and I said, you know, let me think about it, and I'll reach out to you tomorrow. And I thought about it, and I realized that, first of all, there's been this idea on many of the city councils and these different boards and commissions that it has to be a unanimous rubber stamp. And I don't think that's healthy. I think that we need to have debate. But I also realized that I'm not voting no, and I looked at my voting record. I only voted no 15% of the time when I felt that it was an overreach of government.
But doesn't that vividly illustrate how few no votes there were from others? If yours stood out, if only one of six or seven votes was a no vote, and you were still thought of as Mrs. No?
I know.
And first of all, wear it as a badge of honor. I hope you did.
Well, I actually had to, because there is this part of people that they do like to kind of belong. I mean, it's sometimes difficult to buck that. And so when I did the response, I said, this no vote is a vote for the individual. It's a yes vote for the individual. It's a yes vote for people being able, I can't remember everything, but, you know, people being able to keep more money in their pocket, people being able to have more freedom. And what we've realized is with this whole lobby, and Molly and I have gone to several different meetings. We were out at the Jeffco County Commissioners, gone down to the Civil Rights Advisory Committee regarding the Blaine Amendment. And we have these women's groups that we have gotten together over a number of years, and we're starting to have these women are starting to show up to testify. And I realize
I love that. That's wonderful.
We are the lobbying group for the individual, because most hardworking individuals can't sit long.
So well put. And that's one of the painful asymmetries of the process of representative government, municipal level where you served, or state legislature where I served. Organized interests are able to pay for skilled, well-connected, persuasive voices at the Capitol or at City Hall. Most people living their own life and just wanting government to provide basic services and not tell them what to do or try to create a utopia, which will never occur. Most people like that, they don't have a voice. So if some of you, the women like-minded to the America Chicks, are beginning to show up and do that, wonderful.
Well,
Bravo, America Chicks.
Yeah, it was exciting out at I understand how Republicans can kind of twist in the wind as they're trying to figure out what is right to do, and they haven't had people like us showing up to start to testify and give them cover. But out of the eight people that testified against the CDBG grants, five of them were from our women's group. And down at the Blaine Amendment, there were six.
Acronym went by too fast. CDBG.
Oh, Community Development Block Grants through HUD.
And the objection to those was?
That it is government money. It's picking winners and losers between nonprofits and different governmental entities. And that, in essence, if we're able to keep more money in our pocket, that, you know, we as individuals step up and help people. And that's how that used to be the American way before we
had
all these
government. Instead of taxing the money away from us and then having some distant expert that thinks they know better than we do,
exactly,
allocate that money. Let us allocate it out of our own awareness in the immediate community where we live, where we have a better idea of the needs.
Yeah. Right.
And then, of course, 100% of that money actually goes to the people that we're trying to help, because it's not being skimmed off through all of the government agencies.
Right. Because in the CDBG, the Community Development Block Grant Program, is the different entities can take 20% off for administrative costs. Well, I extrapolated it out. If you take a look at all of the different organizations, it takes $3.3 million to take from the American people, the citizens, to get $1.5 to the vulnerable who we say we're trying
to
help.
Mm-hmm. This is the Americhicks, Molly and Kim, on KDMT 1690 AM, and we are the Americhicks on Facebook Live right now, so check it out. We'll be right back.
In a world of uncertainty, anything can happen. It pays to protect yourself, your family, your business, your home, and your car. And it pays to work with the proven professionals at Alliance Insurance Services. Jeremy McCallum and his Alliance Insurance Services team work with a variety of insurance companies competing for your business. Jeremy and the Alliance Insurance Services team helps you find the right insurance at the right price. They know you'll sleep better at night knowing Alliance Insurance Services is handling all of your insurance needs. Give them a call today at 303-431-9351. That's 303-431-9351. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChick sent you.
Freedom begins in your house, not the White House. We Americans enjoy the privileges of a free society, and each of us has a duty and responsibility to keep America's unique ideals of freedom on course. How? Lens of Liberty can help. Lens of Liberty's free freedom kit provides a complete guide to help you be informed, stay vigilant, and fight back for liberty. Order your free freedom kit from lensofliberty.org now. That's lensofliberty.org, so you are armed with the tools necessary to stand for America's ideals.
Hey, welcome back. We are the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. We are Facebook Live. Also, check out our website, AmeriChicks.com. We have former state senator, state Senate president, John Andrews, in studio with us. He is, he's done lots and lots of things, but you are now writing. And I have found, John, I've just started to write different little commentaries. It takes me a long time. Is this just flow off the pen, or how's the writing go?
Well, when I wrote columns for the Denver Post every other week for years, I would allocate 3 or 4 hours on a given afternoon and bang it out. And 600-700 words in 4 hours doesn't sound like a very fast production.
But it is.
For some people, it's all day or a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
Practice makes you quicker. The project I'm doing now, these stories of an imaginary state senator who is working out how right and wrong mesh up with right and left, and finding that real often the answers are in the gray area where it was not obvious to him at all, even as strong of a conservative as he is. These take much longer and proportionately more rewarding. But when you're trying to create real situations, paint a word picture for the reader so they can see that scenery or the inside of that legislative chamber. Make the conversation as alive and natural as the conversation that you and I would be having. We were just sitting there. Do all that. Figure out the characters. That is work. But the reward of it for me is a close-up, kind of a granular microscopic view of this glorious process of a free people governing themselves. The balance between individual freedom that we so cherish as Americans and the personal responsibility, which is the price of that freedom that we often overlook. We don't talk nearly enough about it. That's why my first book is about personal responsibility.
Mm-hmm. And our friend Ben Martin has said, he's a patriotic historian, said that liberty is the responsible exercise of freedom. But talking about your fictional senator, Senator George Leland, I think that one of the, if we go to right and wrong, I grew up in this time where they were moving to you have your right, I have my right, you have your truth, you have my truth. I realized
complete relativism.
Complete relativism. And I realized that that's just not true, that not every opinion is valid. Just because somebody has an opinion doesn't mean it's valid. We need to take a look at these ideas and why they matter and what they're based on. So you mentioned right and wrong. And going back biblical, there's the Ten Commandments. And one of the biggest ones I've heard Dennis Prager talk about is thou shalt not steal. And as you were talking just now, John Andrews, I was thinking, that goes really to our founding. Thou shalt not steal the life of others. Thou shalt not steal the liberty of others. Thou shalt not steal their pursuit of happiness. So the property, the things that they've worked for. And so generally, I think that people can agree thou shalt not steal, except then on the progressive left, sometimes they say, but we can steal because we have a really good reason.
Because we know better than you do. Our hearts are pure. Our intentions are lofty. You've got the argument exactly in a nutshell, Kim. And so they believe that there's a justification. Ultimately, when you strip it to the naked slogan of Marxism, the end justifies the means. And then you take it further to the cynical comment that a certain amount of bloodshed is needed. I forget who uttered it, but you can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs. Maybe that was Lenin, one of the founders of the Soviet tyranny, 100 years ago.
And millions of people died under his leadership.
But the end justifies the means ultimately is what keeps the progressive liberal left going. They know better. They have noble intentions. We're going to be happy with the result. We just got to step back because we have not thought about this as much as they have. We don't have the same passionate desire for social justice that they do. We don't have the same verbal mastery that they do, the same intellectual facility that they do. So just if we get out of the way, they're going to make our lives better, and we're going to end up thanking them. Well, we never end up thanking them, but again, because they often write the history books, they often are not held responsible for the disasters that they brought into being. But all told, something as simple as thou shalt not steal, which, again, I think the underlying premise there, it has to do with the sanctity of the individual. And that, as Lincoln put it, no one is good enough to govern another person without that other person's consent. Consent to the governed. Lincoln there is echoing the language of the Declaration of Independence. And no one is good enough to govern another person without that other person's consent. Wow, what a keynote for a society based on the Golden Rule. It's really just a restatement of the Golden Rule, isn't it? I wouldn't want you to govern me without my consent. So why would I expect that it's okay that I would try to govern you without your consent?
Right.
These simple, simple precepts build up like building blocks, like bricks in an edifice, ultimately, that becomes the governing system of a free society. But we forget where the simple precepts come from. People are living on the 10th story of that which was built brick by brick from the ground up. And they take it for granted. And they forget that if you start pulling out the foundational bricks and cornerstones from below, the whole edifice collapses.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so that's one of the reasons. Tell, again, we're going to be, we're just about out of time. So people can get your information at backboneamerica.net, right?
My theme is backbone, not only the lovely mountain skyline that we see to the west of us, but that we better have character, we better have spine, we better know what we stand for and have the courage to go ahead and stand up for that. Backboneamerica.net is the website. Click to the Backbone Books section. My book on personal responsibility, my book on Backbone Colorado USA, a handbook for conservatives, and this new series of stories about Senator George Leland, all available there to order. And I hope people will have a look at them, especially get into the world of Senator George Leland. Each story probably is a 15-minute read and then 15 hours to ponder what you would have done if you were in the situation, the pickle that he finds himself in.
Oh, I love it.
I love that you've given everybody an opportunity to look at how the sausage is made and look behind the curtain and see what's going on, because everybody's frustrated today. And, you know, the oxymoron, I think, of the terms liberal versus conservative. Liberal, it's what it's supposed to mean, and what it used to mean is, I want you to leave me alone. You know, we want a smaller
government.
The root
word is like liberty.
Right.
But it's so warped.
Right. So, but the liberals today want bigger government because they think the government is smarter than everybody else and should give everybody everything else. What does conservative, what does the word conservative actually mean? Because it's seen as a negative word today.
Conservatism is based on the Golden Rule, on Lincoln's warning that no one is good enough to govern another person without that other person's consent. Conservatism is based on the fact that anybody who's honest with himself will realize how very often they have selfish motives, how very often they make mistakes, and that they really cannot be trusted with power. So the conservative impulse is, over the course of human history, what we've all learned together outweighs what any one smart aleck amongst us thinks he or she can do to boss the others around.
Yeah.
The Golden Rule, there is nothing negative about that. It is the most beautiful idea of live and let live that human beings have ever discovered. And this is what's brought out in my books and in my new stories about Senator George Leland that people can get at backboneamerica.net.
Well, I'm going home tonight, and I'm going to finish reading the story I was reading earlier.
You will love the Clay Rice story.
Yes.
You will love the Clay Rice story, and let me know what you think of the Speaker of the House and her surprise announcement that caps off the story.
I'll let you know. So do we have Mark on the line? Yay. Hey, Mark Cook, how you doing? You're with Home Mortgage Alliance.
Doing great.
It's good
doing
to talk great. To you. What's going on in the mortgage
yes,
business?
Well, you know, things are pretty steady right now. We don't see a lot of variance in rates, which is good. So, again, great opportunity for people to go out there and start purchasing their homes. Want to talk a little bit, if you don't mind, about VA.
Okay.
Come back around on that.
Go ahead. We love our vets.
There's a little – yes, we do. Yes, we do. You know, there's a little-known fact about seller concessions and what the veteran can actually use those for. And what makes VA loans unique is they can actually use those to pay off debt to qualify.
Okay.
So it's a great opportunity for a veteran that's on the debt-to-income ratio threshold to maybe pay that off. Now, in today's market, obviously, that's very difficult to see those kind of concessions because it's such a seller's market. But one area that this may apply is on the new builds, because you often see builders offering seller or buyers a certain amount of money to help pay for closing costs. The vet can then also use those to pay off those debts.
Wow.
So it's just a very unique situation offered to the veteran.
To help the vets out. Well, that's now, it's really important that people work with professionals to navigate this mortgage market. And you and your business partner, Kim Sturtz, have years and years of experience. So how can they reach you, Mark Cook?
Well, they can reach me at my number, 303-517-7173, or they can go to the HMA site that you have posted on your site and contact us that way, too.
Right. At Americhicks.com, we've got a rolling banner ad there with all of our fabulous Growing Our Brand partners. And we really love working with you, Mark, and with Kim, because you really are true pros. So go to our website, Americhicks.com, and just click on their little banner ad, and it'll take you directly to their website and contact them, and they can help you. You'll help get them in a home. Right, Mark?
We love to see that.
Thanks, Mark.
Okay, great.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Have a wonderful evening.
You too.
Thanks. So that's Home Mortgage Alliance. If you're watching on Facebook and you weren't able to see it on the radio, homemortgagealliance.com. And he was just telling us about a special deal they have for veterans. They're great VA loans. So if you're a vet or you know a vet who wants a home, they do have options and opportunities. So check it out. It's also on Americhicks.com. And tonight, if you're around, we'd love for you to come down to Water's Edge Winery. We're going to be there right now after the show. We're inviting everybody to play a little game of Are You Smarter Than Big Government? We want to know the number one issue on your radar, why it matters to you personally, and your non-government or smaller government solution.
And John Andrews, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure. I love the show. I'm proud of what the two of you have accomplished together, 4 years in radio and 6 months and counting right here on 1690.
Well, thank you, John.
It's so important that everybody understand how public policy affects them. I always said I didn't care about politics because I didn't think it really applied to me.
But politics cares about you.
Exactly. Every decision they make has an effect on my life, and that's why we're paying attention.
Okay, Molly, and we're going to end with a little quote from James Madison to Thomas Jefferson. On the distinctive principles of the government of the United States, the best guides are to be found in the Declaration of Independence as the fundamental act of union of these states. And that was James Madison in a letter to Thomas Jefferson in 1825.
Mm-hmm. This is the AmeriChick signing off. We'll see you tomorrow, 5 to 6 p.m.